This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
And welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace, our sponsors today. Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, Boyd's One Stop, Mainstream Marketing, Angler U, and the Belleville Meat Market. All right, warmed up a little bit during the night. A little nicer weather coming today. Looks like right now down on the island it's 60 degrees. Today we're looking at a mix of clouds and sun. With a high of 72, winds will be southeast 15 to 25. Some of those gusts could be higher. And then for tonight, pretty much the same, partly cloudy skies with, some overcast overnight, slight chance of a shower late. They're throwing about a 20% chance in tonight after midnight, south-southeast 10 to 20. And for tomorrow, pretty much the same, about a 20% chance of a stray shower or thunderstorm. High of 74, south winds 15 to 25. So nice conditions. Looks good to me anyway. All right, looking at tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have two of them. We have a low coming up at 4:22 a.m. at the Galveston Channel. It'll be a negative 0.1. Then a high at 3:57 p.m., a 1.4. Sunrise, 7:20 a.m. Sunset, 7:32 p.m., we're right at a half moon, 57%. We're on the decline after that full moon. And looking at winds this morning, they're not bad at all. Looks like the buoy offshore is showing a kind of a east-southeast wind at 7. The north jetty in Galveston is southeast at 6. San Luis Pass east at 2. Rollover site, the old rollover, it's southeast at 3. And up at Morgan's Point, it is southeast at 6. So, conditions real favorable. Very nice this morning before the wind gets up that they're calling for. But anyway, that's where we stand. And I wish everybody a good weekend and prosperous fishing. All right, let's look at the call lines now. Let's run over to Sabine Lake and let's check in with Captain Bill Watkins this morning. Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
What do you say, buddy?
Oh, nothing.
How's
much,
life
man.
Treating you?
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, shoot right. Yeah, man. Life is good. Any day on the planet right now is a good day.
Yes. It's like stealing from it. After you get our age, just get one more. Get another one.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I just took me another sip of coffee and made me a piece of toast here. And just getting ready to visit with you.
Well,
so
that's good.
I hadn't been fishing since, heck, what day did I go?
They're all running together.
Yeah, they're all running together.
Yes, sir.
Let me look at my calendar here. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I went Tuesday.
Yeah.
This past week, and that didn't turn out so good.
It didn't.
It happened, no, I man. Think we. Well, we had 18 trout, and I told you about this already, I think, but we threw back nine, so we had nine keepers, and no redfish at all.
Right.
Just couldn't find anything, and I canceled Thursday because that cold front blew in. So it's just like, you know, one step forward and two step back over here.
Yeah.
When you get a blistering cold front every 3 days,
yep.
You just got to wait till you get through all that crap. I mean, it just, but I'm not complaining because last year I think I went 2 months without a fishing trip. The weather was so horrendous.
Yeah.
So, you know. And right now we've got a lot of fresh water, but there are fish out there. You just got to tolerate it. And we talked last time, you know, Thursday, we talked about fishing in muddy water. You just got to cast at it and don't make believe that it's clear.
Yeah.
And you'll be successful like that.
You got to deal with it. And it's so hard to do for, you know, lure chunkers.
We do like clear water, don't we?
Yeah, we do. That's kind of the name of the game. It's I like my clean water.
Yeah, I do too. But doggone it,
because you get a lot more positive strikes, and you know, fish will actually run down the lure in that in those conditions.
They'll yeah, come
get it.
Yeah, you gotta get pretty close
to them tight and put it right on them. You know.
And then the other side of that issue is the wind. If you've got 30 to 35 mile an hour winds, you know, in the middle of the day every day, you just gotta anchor up to fish them. You know,
yeah,
drifting
so you can,
down the shoreline,
fish it out thorough.
So what I do is, you know, and I haven't had any wade fishermen over here this year, none. And I guess it's because of that dirty water. But if you'll get tight to the bank, and how tight you can get to the bank depends on the tide level, put your trolling motor down and ease down the shoreline, right close as you can get, maybe in a foot and a half of water, and you got to set your trolling motor up a little bit so you don't ground out, and just ease down there and cast out with the wind.
Yeah.
Don't fight the wind. Just cast out. In other words, you're doing just what a wade fisherman would do, except you're in a boat.
You're in a boat, and you're trying to be as stealthy as you can. And somebody that knows how to work a boat shallow, they're good at it, and you can catch fish doing it.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We, earlier, last weekend, we were slipping right up on them, and I've got that new Raptor Minn Kota pole,
mm-hmm.
And that thing is so whisper quiet, you don't hear anything but a splash in the water when it goes into the surface.
Really?
And that thing, oh God!
I've never fished
thing,
out of one of those. I've always fished a power pole. I've never tried one.
It's a superior tube. The hydraulics are better, and everything about it's better, stronger. And I hadn't had the hydraulics hose blow out one time because it's got better fittings on it, and yeah, better. It's a better hydraulic system, stronger hoses. You know, it's just it's a miracle too.
You know what I started doing when I replaced my power pole hoses, I put them inside of a, I run them through an air hose, you know, like you have on a compressor. Perfect
size.
That's
smart.
There's no rubbing and wearing, you know, wearing that hydraulic hose at all, so you don't get those blowouts.
That's brilliant. Why didn't I think of that?
You know, the way the, you know, you put the, like my power pole set up with a bracket off the jack plate over to the starboard side of the boat on the stern. And
mine is too.
That back box I have there, that's where my pump's at, and you have to run out through the hole of that and then come around and then run through these tight slots in that jack plate setup, you know, that the power pole plate's on, and after a lot of rough rides and all that, it'll eventually, those hoses will rub just enough that all you need is just a little bit of thin wall and it'll blow through. So I just,
that's right.
When I replaced the hose, I just ran it through an airline, you know.
And, smart. I wish I'd have thought of that.
If that rubs in two, that's just not going to happen. Just not going to happen.
That could have kept me from filling the sump of the boat up with hydraulic oil.
Oh, I know it, man. Hydraulic oil.
Several times.
Nasty. Man, that stuff goes everywhere.
I should have talked to you the last time I set that up. And I kept fighting them old black and blue hoses.
Right.
Now, Power Pole has gone to a different hydraulic line now.
Have they?
They're better. Yeah. Yeah, they have. But, you know, it was too late for me. My shop manager over there, Pete Jorgensen, he said, Bill, this is a better tool. He said, not only is it a better tool, it's quieter. And I took one look at it, and I said, put that on there. And, my power pole was still working. It was a 10-foot blade.
Right. That's what I'm running.
And I don't...
How deep will that Raptor thing go?
It's an 8-foot stick. Eight. But you're not going to get deep as you want to, you know, when the tide's up real high and you're on a pretty steep shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in 5 foot of water, and if there's mud down there, you're not going to be able to hold in a big wind.
Yeah.
So you got to anchor up in about 2-3 foot of water, and then it'll hold you. And that Raptor just hammers it down. When it contacts the bottom, if it needs a little bit more, it'll just keep hammering and go right on in. Oh, God, that thing is a piece of work. Big, strong bracket, you know.
Minn Kota makes it. You know, if it's made by Minn Kota, it's good.
About a year and a half into that thing, and it's bulletproof so far.
Mm.
So, yeah, so I can slide down the shoreline, and I don't hear my hydraulics running or anything. It's very, very whisper quiet, and, you know, you ease down there, and you'd think that you'd push those trout off the bank, but they're usually 30 feet out there anyway.
Yeah.
They're not going to be right up on the bank except a stray. Every once in a while, one will run in there up against the bank and get him something and go back out. Trout do not like, even in dirty water, they don't like to be that shallow. It's uncomfortable to them. They've got to be in the kind of halfway darkness and then attack from above or whatever.
Yeah, you can see that
in
night fishing, you know, under the lights. Those trout, mm-hmm. You know, they'll come into the lights, but you can't catch those, the ones that you get the bites off of are in the darkness.
That's right. Absolutely right.
For the most part, you can catch them in the bright lights sometimes, but I got to be pretty amped up.
Yeah, that's
trout.
True.
You know, trout's it's a predator, and it likes to lay back and stalk its prey. You know, they like structure and drop offs where they can ambush bait as it's brought by on tidal flow or however the bait's moving. Same way with a darkness and. You know, you get that early bite, especially when you're shallow water fishing. I'm, you know, doing a lot of wade fishing. And as soon as that sun gets up real good and bright and you're in that clean water, those fish are going to roll out deep. You got to follow them out.
That's right. Out. Just walk out with them. So here lately, though,
they become prey too when visibility.
Yes, they do. It's been 2.5 feet, 2 feet to 2.5 feet.
Yeah.
And they'll be off the shoreline about 30, 40 feet. And you just slip up against the bank and ease down there and throw out with the wind. So you don't have to fight the wind.
Right.
And you'd be surprised. Make some long casts. And then you stick that pole down when you hook the first one and see if they're there.
Yeah.
And if they're there and they're, you know, if there's more than one there, you'll catch them.
Yeah, you'll get them going.
And that's just the whole game. And so let the wind be your friend and get up tucked against the bank. And if you've got any kind of high cane or bushes, it'll, if that wind runs over you and you won't have so much trouble staying close to the bank.
Right.
And just works like a champ.
All right.
So I can be a wade fisherman without being a wade fisherman.
All right. I'm going to knock this break out. I'll be right back at you, man. Well, you know, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. So bring your friends, your clients, and let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. Your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. Tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 419. All right, Bill, we are back, my friend.
And I'm here with you, buddy.
We were ducking in on the shorelines trying to stay out of the wind with a boat.
And every day I've had winds 25 to 35. And one day I swear it blew past that.
Yeah, that one day it was gusting big time.
Oh, good grief. So I've got to put my technique to the test on lots of days and lots of years past too. You know, you just can't be afraid of getting in the shallow water because you get behind those trout. Now, if the tide is out a little bit, you know, you're seeing some mud banks, bare bank, you know, just step out a little bit further, and those fish are going to be way offshore. They're going to be out there, you know. If you standard wade fish in waist-deep water and you're casting out with the wind, you can reach those trout. I mean, they might be 50 yards off the bank, but seems like to me that once you get past about 4 feet, they leave the shoreline and scatter. So you might, at low tide, you might have a problem working those kind of fish. You know, once they get to a certain depth, it's like they just pull off the bank and go everywhere.
Right.
So trout are a school fish, but you know the bigger trout, they're gonna move in ones and twos, and what the common denominator is they stack up against the shoreline at the level that they want to be at, which is where the bait is. When that bait moves in, they move in with them. Now, how in the world that works, I'm not sure I understand that part.
Yeah.
How do they know that those bait fish are in there? Maybe it's just a natural thing that they do. When the tide's rising, they swim up against the shoreline. But Trout, like I said, trout don't want to be real shallow. They want to be in 2.5 feet. And if the water is really, really clear, they won't be a little bit deeper than that. And they'll lay right against the bottom and camouflage herself.
Mm.
And that's how they do it. It's, they may be feeding up on one day. I mean, you might have a great topwater day or a lay-lay day or, you know, any kind of a twitch bait, a Miradine day, catch five. They may want that. That may be the ticket. But you still have to get, you have to show them what they want. And I always keep a twitch bait handy on a short rod. And every once in a while I'll test the waters. But if you start off catching them like crazy on soft plastics, just stay with it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's hard to switch over. Well, with the limits as minimum as they are, once you know you pop that, then you get into experimental mode and do off the wall stuff. See what they see what you can trick them on.
Free trout. There you go.
It just I'm all for bringing our fishery back, but it we've barely been a year with these new limits, and it seems like a lifetime, doesn't it?
It does.
It really does. It's only been a year, and we're like, dang, has this been going on forever?
And, you know, if you've got an area like, I'll just say up the ship channel, and you've got an area where trout gather a lot, and you've got a lot of people find out about that, and, you know, so you can go out and catch, you know, 40 to 70 trout a day, but it seems like to me that as your time's rolling on, you're catching 15 and a half to 19 inch fish, and you're getting all of those because there's so many people fishing for them and they know how to do it.
Yeah.
They're skimming the cream, in other words.
Right.
And getting all of the available keepers off of that area.
Right.
And then after you fish them a while, if those trout stay in an area, and especially if their birds are working, oh my God, you know, everybody's going to be on them.
Well, you can thin the herd pretty quick, even at three per person, you know, and say four people a boat, that's a dozen a boat. And then after several days or weeks of that, I mean, they all turn into non-keepers.
And you're sore mouthing the whole herd.
Yeah. You don't know how many fish make it or don't make it, you know, when you're catching and releasing like that.
Yeah. If you wrap a rag around them, you can be sure they're not going to make it.
Yeah, you can go ahead and just, you know, might as well just slam
knock them in the head.
The boat and step on them.
I see people do that every once in a while, and that's nothing that flips me off faster. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Or even a glove.
Yeah. Just, you know, put the fish in the net or hold him over the side if he's obviously not big enough.
Yeah, and it depends on the kind of net and the coating and cord of it and everything. That takes a lot of slime off, too, nets do on fish.
Yeah.
And they're shaking around.
I use one of those heavy rubber nets, and it seems to me that hurts them a whole lot less.
Yeah.
But basically, if you get them up to the side and they look like they're a little short and you're catching some pretty good fish, just
flick them off.
Flick them off. Get the pliers, especially if they're hooked outside.
They're so easy to come off like that when you're fishing with a barbless hook. You know, when I'm at most of my jig heads I'm fishing with any time during the day, I mean, basically, you can't keep a trophy fish anymore. I mean, you can keep one a year, but I mean, so what if you lose it? I mean, seriously, you know, and you got to really mess up to lose one without a barb. I mean, you got to put so much slack in there for him to shake that barb out and, you know, barbless hook out. Then when you get him up by the boat, a lot of times I can just bounce him up and down next to the boat, and that hook, I get just enough slack in there. It'll pop right out, and they'll swim right off.
Yeah, if you squeeze your barb down, that's really the best way to approach fishing the Texas side.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. But I'm not noticing the fish being any bigger on the Louisiana side than they are on the Texas side. So, so far, the jury's still out.
Back in the day, there used to be a big difference.
Oh, yeah. A big difference. But I don't know. We just hopefully I can make it a couple more years and see what it's all going to come to.
Yeah, I was talking to old Larry Higgins yesterday. I talked to him for about an hour, man. I enjoy conversations with him. He's a fun guy. We talked about you and James and everybody, but we were talking about the same thing, how Galveston and Sabine, man, we're just waiting around for it to come back and get like it was. And then, I mean, we had some awesome fisheries before. We've had, you know, really, we've had about 10 straight years of really bad luck on rebuilding the fishery. You know, with floods and freezes and everything, it's made a big difference.
Oh, yeah. It's
loss of habitat, and, you know, that's a one-hour conversation right there, or maybe a daily conversation.
Oh, it is.
But it's, hopefully, you know, what we're doing will pay off in the long run. I'd like to see I want one more good run at them. One more good
one. Yeah, me too.
They can have it.
Yep.
All right, Bill. Well, hey, buddy, you have a good weekend, and I'll do what I can to work on this wind, but I'm not having much luck so far. So,
me neither.
We just have to roll with what
I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be out there tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm going to check it out again.
And
I mean, you know, we did
a nice little breeze to fish in. You can practice the techniques you were telling us earlier about how to fish in a wind, brother. All right, man. We'll throw them out some info. Somebody wants to call you and come over and hook up.
409-673-9211.
All right, Bill. Hey, have a good weekend. Good talking to you, man.
You too, buddy.
You take care, my friend. All right. That's Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. And I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Allied Industrial Sales. So if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks, same-day delivery. No need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on those long deliveries? Their sales team, over 100 years of combined experience. They're here to support you from start to finish, whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied has you covered. So remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales, 281-332-6224. Our sales at alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it is 4:34 here in the Bayou City. Let's go up to Conroe and strike up a conversation with a fish dude. Morning, Richard. What's up?
Oh, good. Not a lot, Mickey. Not a lot. How you doing this morning?
Couldn't be better, man. Thanks for even asking.
I hear you. I'll tell you what, it got cold yesterday.
It got chilly, you know, even down here for this time of year. Come on, man. It's spring. It's supposed to be.
I know. It was 30. I think when I left the house yesterday, it was 33 up here, so it's freaking cold.
Lord.
It's amazing. I know. It's just unbelievable. And then, like, day before, we were sitting there talking about how there wasn't no wind. Shoot, it got, once that sun came up, it started pumping, and it didn't slow down.
That southerly flow. Here it comes. I mean, right after a blow like that with a front. 180 degrees the other way. Come on with it.
I guarantee you. That's what happened yesterday. At least yesterday it started warming up, you know, so that's the main thing. It got that southwest wind or southeast wind. I don't remember which direction it was blowing, but it started coming out of the south, and It's actually warmed up pretty good yesterday, but this morning at least we're starting off in the 50s, so I feel a whole lot better about it, ain't no doubt. But I tell you what, them dang old big catfish just keep on biting. I tell you what, it's amazing. Them big blue cats, I keep running across them. They're in the same old spot, you know, they just keep kind of showing up. And it's like every day I get out there on that spot, and I know within the first five fish, I'm going to have one around 5 or 6 pounds. So it's pretty dang good. I mean, and then like, you know, the other day, I mean, we was over there and caught, I think the first 10 fish were over 5 up to 8. So it's like goodness. And then, I mean, you catch some big channels and then some big blues too. Most of the big blues are showing up over there, but get some channels around 4 and 5 pounds, and that, you know, that's a big old channel cat.
Yeah, that's fillet me out some of them babies. I'm on with that. That's good stuff.
I heard that. There ain't no doubt. And then, like the hybrids, the wind's been so dang bad, I hadn't been able to really run around and chase them. I've had to cancel a couple of trips for hybrids just because the wind's been so dang bad. And it's one of those things where they've been, for about the past 2 weeks, they've been kind of hiding from me anyway. So it's the wind blowing, just maybe that'll get them straightened up and make them act right. That's all I can say. And, I mean, I hadn't been bass fishing here in the past week, so I really don't know what's going on there, but I know they're still catching some pretty nice fish.
Yeah.
So I know there's going to be another push for spawners coming up here pretty quick. So that'll be a fun one to see how many of the bigger fish will come back up. Because, you know, everybody tends to think that they spawn, you know, one time or something like that. Well, you get different weights. So, yeah,
that's
you get
right. All
weights,
of them don't spawn at the same time. All them fish are different.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, Conroe, it's funny, they'll, the north end goes first, then kind of mid-lake, and then you get the south end that goes. So you kind of get those fishing stages, you know, early in the year, December, January, if the weather's right, you'll get some spawners way up on the north. Then February, March, you get the mid-lake type fish that get the spawning. And then April, May, you get those on the south end too. And then, you know, April, May, you'll still have some mid-lake fish spawning and stuff like that, but for the most part, the north fish are pretty well done. It's just, you know, water temperatures are different, you know, just totally different situation up on the north end because you got the shallower water overall, so it tends to warm up and you have a bunch of fry garters up there and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's, you know, it's amazing. And then the crappie, you know, the crappie are up there in that shallow water and stuff like that, which, you know, I leave them alone when they're up there because they're spawning too. And with the population of crappie on Conroe being so down, you know, I just don't want to, I don't want to mess with them. You know, just let them spawn out. And I, you know, like I've told you before, and I keep telling people all the time, I'm still trying to get Parks and Wildlife to put a closed season on crappie between January and April, just so we'll have a chance to reproduce. Because after COVID, I mean, it was just amazing how many female crappie got taken out of the lake. So our population's down. Now, with that said, every time I talk to Parks and Wildlife, they keep saying, well, we keep seeing people catching numbers of them. Yeah, but you don't see people catching limits of them. And that's the thing. There's, you know, very, very few people are catching a limit of fish in a half a day like they normally do. They're catching, you know, they may possibly catch a one person limit over a full day's period, but not over a half a day's period, which is a common thing with crappie. And that's, you know, that's what people remember. You know, everybody remembers going crappie fishing and catching hundreds of them, you know, right. Kind of like white bass are on Livingston. You know, the white bass over there are so prevalent that you just, you know, catching limits of white bass are, it's almost a given over there. And then with that said, you know, like I get people all the time wanting to go catch white bass on Conroe. And I tell them, you know, Conroe's just not, it doesn't have that many. And the reason being is white bass are more of a river fish, not a lake fish. Lake Conroe is a lake. you know. And now Lake Livingston's a lake also, but you've got the Trinity River that flows
into it. Yeah, it's got the mighty Trinity running right through it.
That's correct. And you get that current flow, and white bass are similar to salmon. They have to have that current, so they run upstream and spawn, where on the Conroe, you know, we've got the San Jacinto River, which is, you know, north of the Lake Conroe Dam. You're talking about maybe 40 miles in length. There's no real current flow unless it rains or the wind blows real hard, and they'll spawn on these points. So they don't have the opportunity to spawn as frequently as they do on the Trinity River or Lake Livingston, where they'll move out of the lake, move up into the river. Because that's, you know, that was one of the big things whenever I was guiding over there. Everybody talked about, okay, are the white bass in the river or are they in the lake? Summertime, they're in the lake. Well, it's winter and spring, they're in the river.
The river,
they always move up.
Always.
Waiting on that current to flow. And it's, you know, it's funny to watch them move like that, but that's exactly what they do. They'll go from the big part of the lake up into the river. Now, come July, you'll be able to get out on the old 190 roadbed out there on the main lake, and by 9 o'clock, you'll have a limit of white bass. You know, that's pretty much every single year. It's the same way, you know. June, July, on Livingston, you just wear them out down there in the main lake, and all throughout the summer. But then once it starts cooling down, you catch them up in the river. I mean, I've actually seen them, you know, I'd go over there and catch bait, right? So I see them schooling in the middle of the Trinity River up there at the Highway 19 bridge in January, schooling on the surface. I mean, that's fun fishing right there. I mean, but I wish they would do it on Conroe. They do it maybe once every 10 years. And, the last time I caught them was about 6 years ago. So we got 4 years left. So it's one of those things where they are there. They're just not real common, you know. And then like I say, with the crappie and stuff like that, just getting those rascals to make a comeback. And if we get the pressure relieved on them for a few years, I mean, it wouldn't take much to get them to come back. It's just, you know, because I went into a spot the other day where they typically spawn, and I know they do, and I don't ever tell anybody about it. And it's really shallow. And I went in there the other day, and I bet there was probably 60 of them in front of my boat while I was going into this little spot. So when they do that, that tells me that they're starting to make a better comeback. You know, it's just they're not as thick as what I would generally see them. You know, granted, just a few years ago when I would go in that same spot, I would only see about 15 or 20 of them going into there. So it's making, you know, they're trying to come back, and hopefully with the vegetation that we got in the lake right now, being the hydrilla and stuff like that, that's giving them an opportunity to hide from people, you know.
Let me ask you something on catfish while I'm thinking about it now.
Okay.
Well, these new limits are your daily bag, that's anywhere now, is 25, and you can only have 10 fish over 20 inches, right?
That's on Lake Conroe. Now, 10 fish over 20 and one over 30. And,
well, I'm looking
now,
at the website, you know, TPNW, you know, texas.gov, and that's all they're mentioning. They're not saying any specific lakes. They're just saying, in general, no minimum length or no maximum length except the 10 over 20. And then they show the flathead catfish, you know, daily bag of five. They got to be 18 inches or bigger. And that's it.
Right. Yeah, well, see, that's all they do. You know, I know they do that on Conroe. Now, I know on Livingston it was 50 per person, and they had a different on the – I'm not sure because I hadn't checked it this year, but on the upper end with the 30-inch fish, I think they allowed you five per person over there. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Well, and it used to be 50. 50 fish was a limit, right? On Conroe, Livingston.
No, on Livingston, 50 fish was the limit.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't specify that anymore.
Well, see, they've got the lake exceptions, which is, you know, they used to have like a little asterisk on it. And then what happened, you know, speaking of the exceptions, like, for example, the grass carp, you know, and it's kind of a catch-22 there, you know, kind of puts you between a rock and a hard place with the grass carp. and tilapia, for example. If you're on a lake that has grass carp, and it says in there you must immediately remove the intestines of the grass carp. But with that little asterisk on there, it tells you to go look, and it says the exception is lakes that are permitted. Lake Conroe is a permitted lake. So with that said, if you kill that grass carp on Lake Conroe, you can be ticketed. But if you're on Lake Livingston, catch that grass carp and don't kill it, then you can be ticketed for it. And same way with tilapia. Because I used to have a friend of mine who was a game warden when I was guiding over at Gibbons, too. And we'd go bow fish those tilapia all the time. Now, we'd shoot those tilapia and blow a hole through them with an arrow and throw them in a 55-gallon drum. He'd meet me at the ramp and say, you know, I can write you a ticket. And I said, for what? He said, you didn't cut the intestines out of them. Well, that's another thing. If you catch those tilapia, you have to immediately remove the intestines of those fish.
Wow.
Because they do not want reproduction happening at all. They want them gone.
Well, I don't think much reproduction is going to go on when they got a hole through them and they're sitting in a bucket or something somewhere.
Well, they come back from the dead. Exactly. That's what I kept arguing with him, you know. But this has been years and years ago, too. But, I mean, that's the thing. That's part of the technicalities that they get into that you have to really pay attention to. Certain things that are said in there, if you don't do it, they can find you. Even though you've got a fish that you're supposed to take out of the water and keep him out of the water, even though I had a 55-gallon drum full of them, you know, that was the thing, because I'd always get them, and I'd take them to families that needed them, you know. I had different places where I'd always take those fish and give them to them. They appreciated the heck out of it. But,
yeah,
you know, blowing the hole through those fish and making sure they're gone is what you do with an arrow anyway. And that's, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like the bow fishing's kind of taking a back seat since the gar limits have gone down, you know.
Yeah, it has.
That's one of the things. They're just taking
too many of them. All right, buddy.
Yep.
Well, I got to run, Richard. Throw them out a number. Somebody wants to get with you and come fish.
All right, Mickey. Anyone get in touch with me, 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Richard, have a good day. Be safe out there. Catch them up, man.
Y'all have fun.
Later.
All right.
All right. All right, let's go down Matagorda Way now and check in with Captain Charlie P. this morning. Charlie, good morning. How are you?
A little stopped up this morning with allergies.
Yeah, it's in there, buddy. It's pollen city right now. Here we go.
Oh, man. I've been fighting it for 2 weeks, coughing and stuff. But
I know Tommy, I talked to him the other day, and his voice wasn't back. He was sounding real, you know, real rough.
It looked something like you were
in Matagorda, bud. Y'all got something working down there we don't know about.
Maybe so. I don't know. It ain't much on the fishing right now. Man, them tides were low again yesterday. I hope they came back a little today.
Yeah, we should have got a little water back. I didn't look this morning. It was dark. I couldn't see. The moon was just coming up, so I couldn't tell.
I think that wind is down this morning. Hopefully we can get back out in East Bay. It's just been a mud.
Yeah, it's down this morning. They're calling for it to come up today, but right now it's nice.
Yeah. It's just not much going on. The guys that are doing the best over here, Mickey, or the red fishermen throwing cut mullet, you know.
Right.
Dead sticking them. They're doing pretty good, but
dead bait on the bottom.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And most of us had to go to the river yesterday, and Bink had a group out of his lodge, and that's what we all did. Caught enough fish to make them happy.
Good. Well, good old river, man. It'll pull through sometimes for you.
Yeah. 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 We even caught some channel catfish in there, too.
Oh, man. Box them. If y'all don't want to save them, I'll come get them.
No, they wanted them. They got them.
That's better eating than a trout, I can tell you that, in my opinion.
Yeah. Good-looking meat.
Yeah, it is.
Good-looking meat.
Good, tasty. fries up real nice.
No, things are stale. We need some kind of, we need some rain or something. I don't know.
Oh, don't say that too loud, man. Over in my neck of the woods, I don't care if I ever see rain again.
I can imagine.
Gosh.
I can imagine. We had one of these new young guys yesterday driving down, had a car accident and killed him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
That's terrible.
All of a sudden happening. Yes, people were waiting for him at the dock, and
oh no,
showed up. Things could happen.
Was he just a new guy? What was his name? I don't know.
Chase Cole. He's been around here for a year or two, I guess. But I didn't personally know him. But
oh man, a lot of the guys out here for his family and friends and everything. That's terrible.
Yeah, it really is.
You remember that guy we had over in Trinity Bay years ago? He got in a head-on on the way home one evening. Gary Hahn, remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
He got killed in a car wreck, too. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Boy, you should hear that.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the most dangerous things in the world, driving down the streets. Nowadays, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, that's true. And that's, on the weekends, our waterways get so crowded, you know, just hope and pray that doesn't happen on the water either, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, maybe with this
on Facebook this morning when I got to work, George Foreman died, man.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I think he was younger than me.
Yeah, he was born in 49.
Yeah, I'm born in 47.
He was 76, so, man, you're an old codger now. So you're 78?
I'll be 78 in September.
Golly, Charlie, you are old.
I am.
You don't look it or feel like it, though. I hope I can make it as long as you. I'm about 6.5 years behind you, buddy.
I'm scared if I stop, I'll go to hell in a handbag, you know?
Yeah, you might.
Got to keep going.
Stay out of that recliner. It's only good for ball games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, it's our time of the year coming. Next Thursday, it's opening day for us.
That's right.
We'll see what this
time rolls on, man. Year.
Gonna be a
seemed like the season just ended last week. Jesus.
Not for me and my wife, man. She's chomping at the bit. I can't believe she got into baseball like she did. But once she learned the game, you know, I played it all my life and it's easy to explain it to her. This is how it works.
Yeah.
She loves it.
It's good stuff. Good stuff.
I think she likes looking at all them guys too, you know.
Oh yeah. I'm sure of it. Anyway, we're going to get back in East Bay today and see if we can scratch something up and take a few days off.
I hope you, hopefully you got some water back during, you know, the evening and last night. But you're starting out with a low tide this morning. The highs.
Yeah, there was
like this afternoon.
Even yesterday, that water did not move till about 8 o'clock at all. Just right. Did. So I guess we'll put up to that again this morning.
Well, all you can do is go fish it.
That's
can't
right.
Catch them sitting at home speculating about it.
No, sir.
Well,
no, sir.
All right, Charlie P. Well, if somebody wants to ring your bell, come over and fish with you. Give them a number so they can get a hold of you, man.
Cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, my friend. Well, Charlie, you have a good weekend. Always a pleasure. Catch him up.
Will do, Mickey. Take care.
All right, buddy. See you later. All right, that's Captain Charlie Paradosky over in Matagorda. It's time for our top-of-the-hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.